There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We've bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Rees-Mandel, and gosh darn it, I'm your host on today's program. Who's this Julius Genachowski? Why, he's the heir apparent to the chairmanship of the FCC, although President-elect Obama hasn't said it yet. I'll be talking to our favorite FCC watcher, Matthew Lassar, who's been looking into who this character is and what this might mean for our media environment. You do want to stay tuned. Well, hello to you, Matthew, there, out in warm Santa Cruz, California.
Well, nice to talk to you, Mr. Media Geek. I hear that it's 10 degrees below zero or something.
It is, yeah, something about 10 degrees below zero here in beautiful Evanston in Chicago, Illinois. I'd like to tell Canada they can have their Arctic weather back. We can send that back across the border. That's not a gift we wanted from Canada.
I'm willing to get their Arctic weather if I can also get their national health insurance.
That's right. So when you get frostbite, you can go into the hospital, any state-run hospital, and get immediate care and not get charged a dime. I guess that would be an trade-off.
Like a reasonable bargain.
Yes. Well, so big news then, isn't it, with the...
The big leak.
Go ahead.
There's two big news. The first is that today Kevin Martin resigned.
Oh, I missed that.
Kevin Martin, the chair of the Federal Communications Commission, resigned today. His last day is January 20th, the day that Barack Obama is inaugurated. That is to say, early Tuesday morning. Obama comes in and FCC chair Kevin Martin goes out. There was some talk, some vague back and forth that he would stay on as chair, that he would stay on as a commissioner, as a minority commissioner. You know, you can only have three Democrats and two Republicans if you're a Democrat, or conversely, if you're a Republican president, you can only have three Republicans and two Democratic commissioners. Then there was some talk that he was going to stick around, but apparently the Aspen Institute, which is this fancy-dancy think tank, made him an offer he can't refuse, and so off he goes. And so this means that Julius Genachowski is the presumptive FCC commissioner, but it also means that Obama gets to appoint yet another commissioner to the Federal Communications Commission. In addition, because Deborah Taylor Tate, who is a Republican, and I would suspect that she is probably Ars Technica, where I write, probably their least favorite Republican FCC commissioner, he's leaving as well. She's going back somewhere or other to Tennessee, where she came from. And so that means that there's a lot of openness. And then there's also the possibility, this is an unofficial rumor, and I don't really know whether it's true or not, but I'm hearing that Jonathan Adelstein, might also split and go somewhere else and be an advisor to something. There's also talk of that nature. As for what Michael Copps is going to do, Michael Copps is a pretty, he's his cards very close to the chest. Doesn't give out that many interviews. And so it's not clear what he's going to do. But it looks like there's even more wiggle room for Obama in terms of who's going to be the next FCC commissioner. Martin is gone as of January 20th.
So I didn't hear about this possible Adelstein departure. That would be actually a loss. He's been a very level-headed commissioner with his eyes on the public interest pretty well fixed. He's been a pretty good friend to the public interest community. By my estimation, I would hate to see
him leave. I don't know whether that's true. I'm just telling you that that pretty reliable people in media have told me that that's a possibility.
Interesting.
I'm sure you know, I'm sure that that given his experience and his knowledge, that the Obama administration is looking at him in other possible areas. I mean, he's a very, very bright, smart guy. I was very impressed. I saw Adelstein. I went to a event in San Francisco, one of these FCC commissioner events where they're all fanning out across the United States talking about the DTV transition, which maybe we'll talk about in a little while. But anyway, he went to one of these events in the Mission District of San Francisco, and we were all sort of sitting around. I was sitting around with a bunch of elderly Latino ladies, and we were all sort of bored sitting there waiting for him to start talking. And when he started talking in absolute fluent Spanish. All the women and all the mujeres in the entire room went like that. I mean, as he just began speaking in this utterly great Spanish, and that made me even more impressed with the guy than I already was.
And he plays a mean harp.
I understand that he is a great harmonica player, although I have not had the pleasure of hearing him.
Great might be pushing it. Great might be pushing it, but nevertheless, yes.
You've heard it. Okay. Yeah, okay.
He blows a mean harp. I've seen him at the Conference on Media Reform.
Yes, serviceable harp.
A serviceable harp, yes. As we see, you're talking about the Federal Communications Commission and the commissioners who serve on it, appointed by the president. And maybe just quickly for folks who aren't accustomed to thinking about the FCC so much, really quick, I mean, why should we care? Why should we be even thinking about this? The economy's in the toilet. We have this this crazy fiscal crisis. People are their loans are going bad, and we have two wars going on. Why should we be concerned about the Federal Communications Commission and who's going to be in the chairmanship?
Well, here are a variety of reasons. Unfortunately, when most people think of the Federal Communications Commission, what they think of is Janet Jackson's left breast. I think that is probably what most people think. They think about the FCC punishing CBS for broadcasting that Super Bowl event in which for 9/16 of a second you saw her left breast before it went back into her her outfit. And she and Justin Timberlake caused a lot of trouble with that. And now that's possibly going to be in front of the Supreme Court, as well as the fleeting expletive question. So most people think about that. But if you're concerned about how much diversity there is on cable television, if you're concerned about how much diversity there's going to be in terms of content on the internet, how much there's all these new content distributors, Hulu, YouTube is not so new, but there's a whole lot of new ones. If you're concerned that the forces that control that content will be a broad and diverse group of forces, or will it just be basically AT&T and Comcast, and the Motion Picture Association of America and a few other groups in cahoots with each other, then you are very interested in what the FCC is doing. If you are at all concerned with the affordability of broadband, then you're very concerned with what the FCC is doing. If you're concerned that the various applications that you're using on the internet are not be struck down and interfered with by various big ISPs that don't like them because they mess with their content agenda, then you're concerned with what is going on at the Federal Communications Commission. Those are just a few of the multitude of reasons why it's important to pay attention to the Federal Communications Commission. If you are concerned that the nation's cell phone towers should have at least 8 hours of battery backup, then you are concerned of what the Federal Communications Commission is doing, because they ordered, Martin ordered the nation's cell phone towers to have 8 hours of battery backup. And guess what? Bush's Office of Management and Budget knocked it down, as they do knock down almost anything in the public interest. They knocked this down despite the fact that Kevin Martin was a Republican. Kevin Martin was one of the better Republicans in the Bush administration, in my opinion.
In his own way, when it came to policy, maybe not in the way he ran the commission, since people had some certain problems with him being kind of secretive and forceful and quite sneaky, but in many cases, he had a certain interpretation of public interest, which was kind of technocratic, but at the same time involved these very sorts of things, like you're talking about, having battery backup at cell towers, so that should the power go out, people still have emergency communications.
That's right. You know, he was kind of a Nixonian figure, in my opinion.
That's one way to put it.
Nixonian in the sense that, Nixon did a lot of really good domestic things, the Environmental Protection Agency, OSHA, a wide variety of things like that, but he was also, he was Nixon in terms of the way he ran the White House. Kevin Martin was kind of like that. He was very secretive, very sneaky, just like you said. In fact, there was a whole different big congressional investigation, which issued a report, Dishonesty and Mistrust, the Kevin Martin Administration, or some nice title like that. I forgot exactly how it went. But it basically said that Kevin Martin, you know, did not disclose important information to the other commissioners around certain things, squelched reports, repressed certain kinds of reports that he didn't like, told people basically nix this or nix that if it involved evidence that he didn't want going in a certain direction. He was that kind of a guy, apparently. However, I have to say that despite that, he did a lot of good things. He punished Comcast for P2P throttling. Comcast is taking that to court, but he very, very decisively did that. It's one of the first really big net neutrality enforcements in the world. He let Whitespace, the unlicensed devices that can tap into broadband on unused TV channels, so-called unlicensed Whitespace devices. He pushed and agreed to allow that technology to go forward, despite the overwhelming opposition of the broadcasting industry, the wireless industry, and the wireless microphone industry. He stood down a lot of industries, and he did a lot of good things. He also did a lot of really questionable things. There was a lot of consolidation under the Martin administration, which I think that had a Democrat been in charge of the White House for the last 8 years, you would have had an FCC commissioner who would not have agreed to the XM-Sirius merger, which is, as far as I can tell, has done nothing for satellite radio and will continue to do nothing for satellite radio. He certainly, a Democratic head of the FCC, certainly would not have approved of the AT&T Bell South merger. I really seriously doubt that that the FCC would have allowed Time Warner and Comcast to buy up all those old Adelphia properties after Adelphia Cable went belly up, which was really the beginning of Comcast's empire building plan to basically create this P2P throttling network, which has been stopped to a large extent because of the FCC's actions. I do think, however, that Comcast deserves a lot of credit over the last 6 or 7 months for building and reconstructing itself and creating a largely protocol-agnostic system, which now does not search and destroy, search and look for protocols, but rather just basically looks for congestion and tries to figure out how to deal with congestion rather than protocols. Actually, I think that the FCC deserves credit for putting a lot of fire under Comcast, but I also think Comcast deserves a lot of credit for taking the project on. So these are a whole lot of reasons why it's important to think about the FCC, and it's important to pay attention to the FCC. I mean, if you want your town to be allowed to, if you want media companies in your town to be allowed to own 3 TV stations, the town newspaper, 8 radio stations, and the biggest internet portal, if you think that that's okay, which I don't, and I think you don't think that that's such a good idea either, then you're concerned with what the Federal Communications Commission does, because they're the people who set rules for how much media any entity can own.
Right, right. Well, so now we're going to have a Democratic chairman, a majority Democratic commission, and it seems like the heir apparent, the chair apparent, as we might say, is this person who, you know, most people haven't heard of. In fact, I hadn't heard of until his name started coming up as a possible nominee, Julius Genachowski, who was a fellow student of, along with Barack Obama in law school, once served as counsel to a previous FCC chairman, Reed Hundt, during the Clinton administration. I mean, what else do we know about this cat?
Well, first of all, I want to say something fairly ridiculous to you.
And go for it.
The first time I saw Julius Genachowski's name, I thought that this was divine, as chair of the FCC, I thought this was divine retribution against Comcast for creating this fictional character, Bill Slowski. Now, I don't know if you get Bill Slowski out where you are, the TV channel, the commercials with Bill Slowski. Do you?
I don't have Comcast. I don't think I've seen them. I can't say we don't get them, but I haven't seen
Comcast
it.
Comcast here on the West Coast has a television commercial which shows a turtle, which has DSL. And everything the turtle does on DSL It's one of these great big land tortoises. Everything the turtle does on DSL is really slow, and the character is named Bill Slowski. And you don't want to be Bill Slowski, the Comcast commercial says, so you should switch from AT&T DSL to Comcast, and then you'll get Comcastic speed, and you won't be this turtle, Bill Slowski. And I've always thought it was a little offensive that a slow person was someone with an Eastern European name. And so now we have Julius Genachowski. I realize this is absolutely ridiculous, but it's the way I think sometimes. You know, it's just me. But anyway, I think that in fairness to people who are a little frustrated with Julius Genachowski and the news that it's Julius, is that he has not left very much of a paper trail.
Mm-hmm.
Can't
mm-hmm.
find very much what he's written recently. I mean, he didn't leave much of a paper trail when he was the senior counsel for Reed Hunt. He didn't leave much of a paper trail. I mean, it's hard to find anything that he particularly did or exactly what he did when he was prior to that, he was a clerk for Souter on the mm-hmm. Supreme Court, and he was also a clerk for Supreme Court Justice William Brennan. Following his tenure at the Federal Communications Commission, he left around 1997, and he went off to the dot-com, and he became the board of directors or the senior lawyer for a whole lot of companies. Ticketmaster.com, hotels.com, a whole lot of these. He just basically joined the dot-com boom. Mm-hmm. He became very close to the guy who ran Interactive, Barry Diller, you know, the big media guy,
yeah.
Barry Diller. And he worked with Barry Diller a lot. And apparently he and Barry Diller also worked together on various federal communications, consumer-related projects. But we still don't know a lot about him based on all of those dot-com experiences, although it's clear from various articles in the New York Times that he did make a lot of money, which I suppose is the idea. He was, at some point or another, nominated to be on a rescue board for CNET, that's C-NET, that software news and
right.
software download company that's very useful, but that's been in hard times recently. So he's basically been very much part of the dot-com boom, and now he's coming back into public service. He did author Barack Obama's big tech statement,
mm-hmm.
which calls for openness, competition, and basically net neutrality in broadband and in the internet. I think that you can expect a bunch of things from Julius Genachowski. You can expect him to be very skeptical, and these are good things.
Mm-hmm.
Expect him to be very skeptical of media mergers. I don't think that you're going to see a lot of people coming to Julius Genachowski's FCC, and saying, I don't think you're going to see the incumbent, RBOC, the regional bill operating companies, coming to him and saying, we want to merge even more. I guarantee you that they already know the answer to that question, and the answer to that question is no, no, no. He's not going to agree to that. It's very unlikely that the AT&T and Bell South merger would have happened.
Why do you say that? Well, I mean, so what are you pulling from there? I mean, I know that
I'll tell you what I'm pulling from. I'm pulling from the fact that he comes from a content delivery perspective. That is to say, he comes from your Google, Amazon.com content delivery perspective. He comes from the big portal delivery perspective that wants the internet to be open and accessible to everybody, or at least it wants the open internet to be open and accessible to them, and not be interfered with by the big ISPs. And I think that because he comes to the FCC with that perspective, he's not going to be interested in these big mergers because he's going to see these big mergers as a threat to those interests.
So he's going to be a little suspect of concentration in, say, internet provision because that will provide too much market power and the ability to put out very unfair, pernicious, or otherwise difficult terms on all of these different internet companies. So that's kind of what you're saying.
I think that the experience of fighting Comcast and Comcast's resolute determination up until it was forced to not to admit that it was throttling P2P applications really put a scare into a lot of developers and their allies among the big content, among the competitive content providers,
Google,
Amazon, all these other places, really put a scare into them. They don't want the big ISPs messing with protocols because protocols are them. You know, Vuz, Hulu, they work, you know, all these different gaming companies. They're constantly working with new protocols that make it easier and faster to download packets, download a whole lot of content on the internet. And that's their venue. You know, their venue is not, you know, they don't have DOCSIS. They don't have that big, you know, coaxial cable network for providing content.
They don't have the last mile. So what do you think he'll be on media ownership then? I know that, I mean, Reed Hundt back in, you know, before the Telecom Act of 1996 spoke out publicly as an opponent to lifting the nationwide radio ownership cap, something which existed until 1996, and the removal of which essentially allowed the creation of Clear Channel. Reed Hundt, his boss, Julius Genachowski's boss back in the 90s, opposed. It seemed to be, generally speaking, a pretty strong opponent of media consolidation in that era. Do you think Julius Genachowski is going to be mirror his old boss's approach here, since the FCC still is in the process of a rules rewrite on media ownership rules?
Well, there's a lot of dynamics going on here. To remind our listeners, in late 2003, early 2004, Michael Powell, who was then chair of the FCC, issued a massive relaxation of the FCC's media ownership rules, right? Basically lifted the newspaper TV cross-ownership rule, created a whole sort of column A, column B, column C set of possibilities where you could own just a huge amount of media in any region. Newspapers, radio stations, TV stations, you just own a whole boatload of it. The situation following that, this was taken to court. Powell's decision was taken to court and was largely overthrown by the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, which said that the newspaper TV cross-ownership decision was probably legit, but the rest of it was very badly thought out, violated the Administrative Procedures Act, and has to be done again. So Kevin Martin, who inherited the FCC from Michael Powell, did it again, ran the proceeding again, and just relaxed the newspaper TV cross-ownership rule. That decision is being challenged right now in Congress. Congress has a bill that would basically undo that rule and say that has to be done all over again. And that's my guess is that that Congress will overthrow that rule.
Okay.
That means that, you know, I'm not sure when the shot clock is, but the Telecommunications Act of 1996 says that every 4 years the FCC has to review its media ownership rules. So I would guess that in 2011, or maybe earlier, the FCC will have to issue a new notice of proposed rulemaking on all its media ownership rules. And if it's controlled by Democrats, I guarantee you it's not going to change any of them at this point. And it may even tighten some of them up, depending on what the situation is. As far as the newspaper TV cross-ownership rule, it's an interesting thing now. You know, what Martin's rule basically said was that TV stations can own newspapers and newspapers can own TV stations in the 20 biggest Nielsen-designated markets in the United States, and also created a fairly loose structure where it could happen elsewhere, but mostly in those 20 markets. The problem, what's interesting now is, of course, as you know, newspapers are tanking, right? I mean, The Atlantic, as you know, you must have read the Atlantic Monthly, actually wrote this article, speculated the New York Times may actually disappear as a paper entity over the next few years. And, you know, everybody's upset about it. Terry Gross is, you know, upset about it, and that means it's really important. That really changes the dynamic around whether this rule really is going to have any impact, even if it's allowed to stay as Martin created it. But, the point is that these rules are probably mostly going to stay where they are over the next 5 or 6 years, I think, under the Genachowski the administration.
So it seems like then under a Genachowski administration, the focus will really be on broadband policy, on the internet, on a lot of these issues, since definitely President-elect Obama has placed a lot of emphasis on broadband deployment and information technology as part of, you know, economic growth, as part of the stimulus package.
Right.
Certainly it seems like Jenna Kachowski has some background in that and may be able to serve very well in that capacity.
Today, David Obey, a Democrat of Wisconsin, head of the House Appropriations Committee, announced $650 million. I think it's $650 million, maybe $550 million. I can't remember. A lot of money. $650 billion appropriations bill for, you know, job consolidation and job saving across the United States. That includes $6 billion for broadband development in rural and underserved areas in the United States over the next 5 or 6 years. That's in the bill. It also includes a $550 million for that coupon program and the DTV transition. We'll talk about that later on. But it includes, basically, it's $6 million for broadband, which the media reform groups are a little bit disappointed in. Free Press, a big media reform group in Washington, D.C., issued a statement saying that they were a little disappointed in that number. But the big issue is that the chances are pretty good the Federal Communications Commission will be put in charge of defining the parameters around that network if it gets appropriated and if it gets launched and the money goes out to build whatever kind of network this is or whatever kind of networks we're talking about. And I can guarantee you that there's going to be an enormous push among the media reform groups, the Open Internet Coalition, Free Press, Public Knowledge. They're all going to push really, really hard for open device principles for that network, net neutrality principles for that network, wholesale access for that network, so that the little guy and the little gal can basically make some money off of this and isn't shoved aside in this particular network. People who want to build applications for this network or want to send things across this network, they'll be able to do that without any interference.
And so that it doesn't turn out to just be a handout, sort of like this last bit of stimulus money, doesn't turn out to just be a handout, a bailout to the likes of Comcast and AT&T with no strings attached or hoping that the public interest is really served.
Right, that's right. Verizon doesn't need any welfare. Mm-hmm. In this situation, and I think that that's the argument that these groups are making. This is going to be a whole new thing. It's going to be a whole new system, and it's going to have to be built out of whole cloth. And no question about it, the Federal Communications Commission will play a major role in overseeing it and overseeing its development and design, or at least writing a lot of rules. And so will the Office of Government Accountability will also probably be involved in this. So that's a really important part of the Obama economic recovery strategy. $6 billion is not enough, but my guess is that as the economy continues to get scarier and scarier, I think that opposition to spending more and more money on these kind of things will fade away, and you'll see more money go into this particular project. At least I'm hoping that that's what's going to happen. We'll see over the next 2 weeks. The Republicans are making all kinds of noises about being a source of blockage around this stuff, but I don't know enough about what kind of power they've got to stop this stuff yet.
So, Matthew, thank you so much for
always a pleasure,
regaling
Paul.
Us with your data.
Bye-bye, Paul.
And once again, that was Matthew Lassar. Writes for ArsTechnica.com, covering the FCC and communications issues. Also an instructor on communications history and policy at the University of California at Santa Cruz. And that brings to a close this edition of Media Geek. I'll be back in one more week with more news and views in our media environment. In the meantime, go online to the Media Geek website, MediaGeek.net, home to the Media Geek blog. Lots of stuff that we barely have time for on the radio show, and sometimes the breaking news before the radio show gets to be on the air. It's only once a week, folks. That's MediaGeek.net. The radio show is at radio.MediaGeek.net. And, of course, catch up with the up-to-the-minute stuff with the Twitter feed, twitter.com/MediaGeek. Media Geek is produced in the studios of WNUR-FM in Evanston, Chicago, Illinois, on the campus of Northwestern University, and is also heard on great radio stations like community radio WEFT 90.1 FM in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, WVEW in Brattleboro, Vermont, and CHMA in Sackville, New Brunswick, Canada. If you have any comments about the program, please send it to me, Paul at MediaGeek.net. Thank you so much for tuning in.